the stats, the salt, the sanity. And every so often, they talk about sports, too.
Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
You know what? It's been long enough. I'm going to intro this like you've never heard us before because it's been so long. You may not have. This is Armchair Sports Talk. I'm Eric Dorsch. We are back doing another podcast. Had to get through that little gap of everybody's schedule is just not lining up. And, oh, by the way, one of us deciding the other side of the country is the better place to be right now for him. So, but you know me, still here, still in Michigan. The other one, the guy that never left, Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus, still in Michigan, just in the middle of Narnia, Michigan at this point.
Hey, I think we've got over the fact that I live far away, okay?
You know what's weird? You don't live that far away from me. I just like to make it seem like you do.
You know what? It's comfortable in Narnia.
Yeah, I got my hunting dog to come find you, so we're good to go.
I see that. You and your Deep Eddie vodka hat. What is this?
I got this at the, we're going to talk about the Rocket Mortgage. I tried this at the Rocket Mortgage. It's a distillery in Austin. They had a little trailer there to try it. It was awesome. It was very good. Highly recommend if you're ever in Austin, Texas to get some of this. And if you're not, well, sucks to be you. We're going to test the connection here. We don't know how far StreamYard reaches, but we're going to see if it makes it out to the Pacific for the stat man, Russ Ivanek.
From the top left of the country. Hello. Oh.
All right, yeah, Russ, buddy.
You did it twice. You might as well do it a third time. Hit us with the dad joke that you threw at me for your current place of residency.
We do love beating a joke to death.
Absolutely.
Long time no Seattle.
Oh. I hate it the first time. I hate it the second time.
Well, you weren't there for the first time, but the second and third time didn't work out well for you.
Nicer on the fifth or sixth time, so I'll just drop it in as we go.
But like a bad bourbon.
Yes, like a bad bourbon or good milk turned into cheese.
You know what's hilarious about this is Russ was always a very stylish individual, but Russ has embraced his Pacific North. And he's got the flannel on. He's got a little bit of beard. He's got the Kraken hat on. I'm assuming if he turned around, there'd be some large amount of trees in the window behind him. He's going to turn the camera.
Correct.
Yeah, those are trees. Yeah, those are trees.
Nailed it, sir.
So he's absolutely embracing it. Guys, it's been a while since we've done one of these. We're going to see how many mistakes we made. I don't think there's going to be many, but we're going to start out with something. You know, Russ is finally back. So let's start out with what he knows the least about. Golf. Jay, Russ got out of Dodge right in time to miss this event. Jay, Rocket Mortgage Classic. You and I were texting throughout the week about it, how much fun it is, how cool it is. Tony Finau gets the win, back-to-back wins after winning the 3M Open the previous week in Minnesota. First time since 2019 that someone's done that. And we could beat a dead horse here, Jay, but when we watch this one, it's just a little bit different, a little more fun because, you know, this is our hometown. It's cool to see. Obviously, we both know the course fairly well. That's where my wife works. But it's just that much more fun to watch this tournament knowing this is Michigan golf.
Yep. I watch this classic like I watch my majors. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'm like Waste Management and all the other ones, I might tune in here or there. But Sunday is the only day I watch. I want to see red backdrops 24/7. Because when you see the red grandstands and you see the red signage, you know that it's Detroit. Like, that's becoming, like, synonymous of what's happening. If there's golf and there's red backdrops, you know it's at DGC. So, it was excellent. I watched all 4 days. I put money on Tony Finau on Thursday, and that panned out for me nicely on Saturday or on Sunday. I wish we had more golfers at it. Put it that way. We'll probably touch on that in a minute. But it's good for Detroit. We had perfect weather for it. It was excellent. I loved it.
Where do you like? I know you're a salty individual, and we'll get to that throughout this show. But where do you fall on this 27, 28 under finishes after 4 days of golf? It's video game
numbers.
I hate it.
I remember distinctively Russ and I and you were talking about this last year about what can they do to the greens. And you explained some things to us from behind the scenes on what, you know, the PGA tries to do. And I hate it then. I hate it now. It's like, make it harder. I understand we're putting in, like, you know, there's a north and there's a south, and we're playing 17 holes of one and one hole of, like, it's like, just make it harder somehow. Like, I don't like numbers that big. It's not fun.
Russ loves big numbers. That's math for him. He can calculate all of it. No, I agree. It's not for me. I'd rather see these guys struggle and like I do when I play that golf course, but that just doesn't happen. Meanwhile, Jay, Tony Finau, this guy is just like, he's almost impossible not to root for. Just a down to earth, fun guy. Love, like you love rooting for this guy, and back to back wins. And he had the best quote ever, standing on the podium, lifting the trophy. He said, "All a winner is a loser who never gave up. And that's me." And that's a great quote to say, because it is true in this. You don't win very often. So those wins become that much more special.
Russ kind of smirked when he said the quote. He's the kindest, most humble guy. And like, that's, you expect that out of him. I've been a loser my whole life until I wasn't. It's like, okay, yeah. Like, he's not cocky. He's not arrogant. He's not Bryson DeChambeau. He got up there and he was just like, I did the thing. And he did. It was really cool. You know, ever since he twisted his ankle and he was celebrating backwards because he just got a hole in one or some shit. And then his ankle goes out and he snaps it back in. Like, I loved the dude since. So he's probably top three of my favorite golfers right now. Not because he won me money.
Yeah.
Well, just because of who he is.
That helps. Well, Rush, you're never one to pass up a great quote like that. What does something like that say to you when you hear a guy say that all a winner is a guy who kept losing and never gave up?
It sits next to the live, laugh, love sign.
Oh, God.
That's what it is. That's what I think. I'm like, oh, that was cute. I bet they sell that at Pier One.
It's like the signs for your house. It's like kitchen, laundry, sleep.
Yeah. You put it on a poster with a kitten hanging from a branch. Hang in there. It's cute. It also feels very canned.
I'm the salty one.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think moving to another state has made this man a little more bitter. We might have to rework some of these nicknames.
There's a lot of coffee out here. It's bitter in my blood now.
From the guy who at one point didn't drink coffee, now it's just living in his body.
Now it's just,
yeah. whoa, this is a family friendly show. Let's not advertise.
I'm on the beans.
He's doing lines of beans. Not lima beans.
Lima beans. It's good for my blood pressure.
He hasn't gone straight to just snorting the grounds. He's still working it into the bloodstream at some point.
No, but I do have a 6-month-old, so we're close.
Oh, gosh.
You have a 6-month-old.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
In 3 days, he'll be 6 months old.
Oh, my goodness.
Shows you how much time. Now, this is what I couldn't think of because I remember us doing it. How long has it been since we actually packed those pods up for you?
Oh,
that's not a euphemism. That was a physical
package. That was the end of May, wasn't it?
Wow. So we're coming up on like the end of May. two or three months. Wow. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Don't get old. No see at all.
I hate porn. I hate it.
lastly, Jay, because I want to get to live where we can get Russ's, you know, we can get Russ a little more in because we've been sending him all the information he needs to know about it. But lastly, your thoughts on, for the third year in a row now, they are moving the date of the Rocket Mortgage again.
I'm fine with it. I think they're going closer to 4th of July.
It'll wrap 2 days before 4th of July. So it's the weekend before 4th of July.
That is an excellent time for that. I got no problem with it. Patrick Cantlay will be there again and he can't win it. He's like, Patrick Cantlay looks like the guy who gets drafted last in the NFL. Like, he's always just sourpussed, but still happy to be there, and he can't do anything about it. So I'm excited to celebrate Patrick Cantlay and 4th of July together next year.
Sounds good. So if you heard this, people, put money on Patrick Cantlay, because anything Justin does gambling-wise usually doesn't pan. Usually
I'm on a heater pan right now. You can't mess with me.
Attaboy, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. All right, moving over to the LIV Tour. Look, it's the LIV against the PGA Tour at this point. Both leagues think that they're the right league and think the other one's out to get them. A lot of news breaking recently. It's finally been confirmed by Greg Norman that Tiger Woods turned down upwards of $700 or $800 million to be on this tour. Tiger is affirmed that he will not leave the PGA Tour, but we don't know if we're ever going to get Tiger Woods on the PGA Tour again because the guy can't seem to finish 4 days of golf. You have the PGA Tour with the FedEx Cup getting ready to wrap up. Former PGA Tour players such as Phil Mickelson, Russ is going to laugh here, Taylor Gooch.
You're making names up.
Nope. Taylor Gooch, Ian Poulter. I believe there's 10 names total on this list. are basically suing the PGA Tour for the right to have their suspension lifted so they can play in the FedEx Cup because they've earned the points to qualify to play in the FedEx Cup. Some of them going as far as to taking out, I don't know how this works. I really wish I knew, we knew lawyers that could explain this to me, take out a restraining order on the PGA Tour to allow them to be able to do this. Yeah. Yeah. I see Russ's face.
You, a restraining order being that you can't be within a certain amount of distance to the organization that's putting on the tournament that you want to be within a certain amount of distance of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how that works either.
Yeah. I don't get it. I think that they need to look into other legal advice because that one doesn't make sense. But you have Jay Monahan releasing a letter about all this to inform his PGA players. And the PGA Tour players have gone as far to say that if the LIV guys show up, they will leave. And Jay, I don't really see the problem here. It's like, okay, you want to win these tournaments, so you're going to leave because other people have these tournaments. When did this turn in to Farmington High School sophomore year at any point of going to any sporting event? Oh my gosh, this person's here. I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's... So here's my take on this. I liken it somewhat to Bitcoin. When Bitcoin first happened, everyone was freaking out. People wanted to get in. We're past like the, hey, come join us phase of LIV. Like now lines have been drawn, right? Now it's kind of like, ugh. And now they're going to sue an antitrust lawsuit against the PGA. Fine. Okay. Those are the people. This is not the first time they've been sued. In 1990, they had an antitrust lawsuit pretty much kind of like this. Players are upset. The government needs to look into it. Now, I don't think the government's looking into this one. It's just players versus the PGA. But, like, it's a line. It's drawn down the middle. They're not going to get their way. I don't know how this gets settled. I think eventually you're going to have one league again. I don't think LIV is going to stand the test of time here. I think it's eventually going to dissolve, like the Bitcoin analogy. It happened. It was this big rush. People are watching it less and less now. Players aren't going over as much. I think it's a moment in time we'll look back and we got more golf as for us. And I think that's a good thing. But for LIV itself, I don't know how they are going to win or even be included in the FedEx Cup. Or if Phil Mickelson can't show up for 2 years. Like,
yes,
that's the employer. It'll take 2 years to litigate that. Like, this is an employer-employee relationship where they're fighting with each other and it'll just get caught up in litigation and eventually LIV will just not LIV anymore. It's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. Russ, when you look at this, who's actually hurting themselves more? Is this a bad look on the PGA Tour for kind of being so bitter about all this? Or is this more a bad look? Because, look, a lot of people have a problem with the LIV Tour because, look, it's Saudi-backed. These are some terrible people that are providing these paychecks. I mean, there has been so much footage. Phil Mickelson had to back off a shot the other day because a guy in the crowd yelled, "Do it for the Saudi royal family," in heckling. And people had there's signs that say no talking, and one said no mentioning someone who was murdered by the Saudi family. It's like, when you look at this, is it a bad look for these guys that they're sticking so firmly to this league, or is it more of a bad look at the PGA Tour for being like, you know what, this is competition and we don't welcome competition in any form?
Nothing in this LIV PGA Tour or rivalry rather is going to be as bad of a look as some of the extracurriculars in the people backing the LIV Tour. Nothing. So the longer this conflict goes on, the more it helps the LIV Tour side in generating publicity. If we've learned anything about social media in the last 20 years, is that hate sells and anger sells and friction sells and drives engagement. So the more that there is, the more it gets validated as a form of entertainment. We're here. The more the PGA gets their feathers ruffled, the more they're acknowledging them as a competitor.
Yeah.
They're not going to go away. If that's the case, you're making them a part of the conversation.
I agree. You're kind of validating that these guys are a real threat, as opposed to if you just acknowledged, if you just didn't acknowledge it at all. Oh, it's there. Okay. That's cool. And gave it no afterthought. Yes. Then it becomes a lot harder. The LIV Tour is feeding off this rivalry. I absolutely agree. And to me, it's like, don't get me wrong, I enjoy the LIV Tour for the golf. The politics behind it, you have to pick, you know, what hill you're going to die on. And I agree, that's not the best look on earth to be like, oh, you guys do terrible, horrible things. Sure, we would love large sums of money from you in order to make, you know, to make our living. Now, again, I'm only human. I think if someone offered me $700 million to do something, my first instinct would be like, yes, please. Firstborn child, you're welcome to him if you'd really like it. But then I'd have to, you know, then you look into it a little. You guys both have kids. You might not feel the same.
Well, if you look at some of the celebrities that showed up for the Live thing, like you want to talk about literal politics and little like there's no advertisers. There's no TV contracts or rights. It's all YouTube. So they have all these celebrities that come out and they're mingling it up and it kicks up some dust and people see and say things. And then, oh, did you see who was there? Well, now you got non-golfers probably talking about a golf event.
Let's say the Orange Man showed up and he looked 10 years older than he was when he was president. And that was a big one. Charles Barkley has come out and said that for, I think it was $15 million, he would leave TNT and go work for Liv. David Faraday just left to go do it. It's a big deal. And like there are people who I think, Russ, I made a joke to you. You were talking earlier about how, you know, you've got job interviews coming up and, you know, you gotta get cleaned up a little bit. And I said, just slick the hair back like Gordon Gekko and just look real. But there's a line from that movie that I think plays perfectly here. Greed is good to them. Greed is good. Money is what it is. Apparently that it is a currency, but that's the currency that means the most to some of these people. And it's showing. Jay, you and I have watched it a lot. I find it incredibly entertaining. I watching this golf and watching all the stuff they do with it, these press conferences where basically anyone who wants to ask a question to these guys can, I find it very entertaining. And the fact that they're doing this much to get under the skin of the PGA Tour, that the tour is suspending guys, suspending them for multiple years, flipping out about lawsuits against them, they are literally giving the Live Tour everything they want, which is free publicity on the PGA Tour and on, you know, on their airspace. It's astonishing.
It's a little ugly. Like funny example, my daughters, when at a young age, they know what boundaries are and they know how to test the boundary. And that's like their main goal until like they realize they need to be an adult is they're just going to test your boundaries 24/7. If someone was to test my boundary and I get up in their face and I start doing what the PGA is doing, you're letting them win. Got to help course correct and soothe. And like the XFL, they don't get made fun of by the NFL. The NFL just goes, I know you're over there. I ain't worry about you. We're king. Like if PGA did some of these things where you know where the boundary's at and you don't validate, maybe it's a little different. But PGA, they're too high on their history horse. They're this prestigious group of people that have to be righteous about it, and I don't like how they're suspending players. They just bring them back, and then like Liv is like not important anymore.
Two young kids testing boundaries and questioning rules. Gee, I wonder where they got that from.
Yeah,
no, I wonder who can't inspired be genetic. That.
Nope.
All right. Lastly, before we want to talk training camp and all. Before we do, I sent this to both of you guys earlier today, and I think if anything proves the point here of how. Maybe the tour needs to do a little bit. The PGA Tour needs to look a little more in to how they pay their players and how to restructure it. PGA Tour took in $1.5 billion in revenue in 2019. That same year, Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, received a compensation of $8.9 million. Had Monahan been a player on the tour that year, he would have came in second for official earnings behind Brooks Koepka, who won two majors that year. So that shows you where his money is, and would have finished ahead of Rory McIlroy, who is right now the tour's golden goose, who they want. That to me is where you're running into a problem, is because I just named two guys that at that point, Brooks Koepka obviously has left for Liv, but two guys that at the point were number one and number two in the world and were your top go-getters, and your commissioner finished higher than one of them in earnings that year. That is like me going in tomorrow and making more money than the guy who's actually on the radio. That doesn't make a lot of sense that the talent isn't getting top billing. You don't see Dan Campbell make more money than Jared Goff. That just doesn't make a lot of sense in this system. So partly Liv kind of has the idea right of there's no reason that the people that are doing the talking or setting up the tournaments should make more money than the people that you're actually watching in the tournament. If that was the case, the PGA Tour would be a live stream of a conference room where Jay Monahan figures out where they're doing the tour next year and who's going to sponsor it. That's what that would be. And no one would.
I'd watch that shit.
Yes, you would, because you're weird. You'd also live gamble on who's going to cuss next. So
is that line available?
We can look.
Okay.
I played blackjack at lunch today, so.
But Russ, when you like when you hear stuff like that to me is a perfect example of how backwards the tour is right now, and maybe, hey, look into fixing that and you might see a lot of this live defection start waning back towards your way because guys are like, "Oh, you fixed the problem. Okay, I'm interested again."
Yeah, I mean, and that's unfortunately, that's just kind of a symptom of American sports or maybe North American sports when I'm more familiar with, hey, just the American aspect. But it just goes to show you that we talk about these millionaire athletes making crazy money, but the people one step up are on a completely different level that it doesn't even matter. Roger Goodell made over $60 million last year. Matthew Stafford has the biggest signing bonus signed this past offseason, and that was $60 million even. The biggest base salary in the NFL is roughly $30 million this year. Roger Goodell's double that, right? That's exactly why Liv has a foothold here. That's why they have a chance, because there's so much more money in the pot and it's being funneled to the people at the top that, yes, it's a ton of pressure to sit there and be the guy or the person running these leagues. Absolutely is. But that much more, that higher of a magnitude than your highest paid athletes in the sport. Like if you changed commissioner, would it change viewership? If the PGA lost Rory, that would change viewership, right? Oh, yeah. And until that gets more balanced, this crack is always going to be there for somebody else to come in, funnel the money.
Yeah.
Away from the people in traditional power settings and to the athletes and take advantage of it. It's always going to be there as long as someone's willing to play the players. And that's probably why this rivalry isn't going away anytime soon.
Yeah. And in Monahan's job, he gets paid no matter what he does.
Yeah.
Rory has to play well.
Right. Yeah. For an entire year.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like his job should be dependent upon how good the quality of work is. He has a shit Tuesday. Sorry, boss.
You're getting docked.
And that's what I've been using to justify the Live Tour is that it's a guaranteed paycheck. You wouldn't go to work and find out on Wednesday if you're going to get a paycheck or not.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense.
That's lunacy.
Yeah, but that's what these guys do. Now, everybody's like, oh, well, they get sponsor money. Yes, they get sponsor money, and that's great. But a lot of the time for most of these guys, other than Rory and Tiger and them, their sponsor money is them just putting up what it costs to play in the tournament, putting up, you know, a hotel fee in that. So these guys don't have to come out of pocket. It's not like they get handed $1 million for showing up at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. That's not how that works. The money they make is what they do on the course. You know, yeah, I completely agree. Jay Monahan, tell you what, if viewership's down on Thursday, we're just not going to pay you that week. There's no way he would go for that. So why are you asking people who this is their living to do the same? Now, granted, everybody in this conversation makes more money for doing jobs that we would all do for probably a third of the salary because it's more money than we see, you know, in a given lifetime. So it's a weird conversation to have, but it's the conversation we're having right now because that's where we are. It doesn't make sense. It's not justifiable, Jay.
Jay Monahan makes more money than Sean Monahan of the Calgary Flames. I had to look that up.
Well, yeah, because he's in Calgary, but that's fair. That is what it is.
Sean Monahan's also fallen off a cliff, and Jay Monahan might get pushed off of one soon. So
they can hold hands together.
It's very fair. Look, this is a Live Tour thing. It's going to be happening all year. We're going to talk about it. That's the great thing about golf. As I'm looking up right now, I'm seeing ESPN talking about what will come out of this lawsuit. And something tells me it will not be good for the PGA Tour. I just get that feeling. And obviously, this doesn't seem to be a tour that's going away anytime soon. They've already started announcing the schedule for the 2023 season. So these guys fully expect this to be something that's going to last more than a year, which means it's already better than all of the other football leagues we've gotten over the last 2 years. Already better than all of them.
Hey, but Slam Ball's coming back. So
Slam Ball.
Slam Ball?
Slam Ball.
Basketball trampoline.
Correct, sir.
Oh my goodness, are you kidding me?
When the Big Three is the best other sport league we've had in the last couple of years, you know that some people need to step up and work hard. Don't wrong, I love watching the Big Three because they're all guys I grew up watching, but yeah. So
you know what's making a comeback though, at least in my viewership? Wrestling. I've been watching WWE like a fiend lately, and I do not know why.
because I'll try and explain it a little bit. I'm not a wrestling fan. But they do more with less than any other entertainment avenue. There is not a sane person who's viewing that that goes, my God, they're beating the hell out of each other. This is the most amazing and completely real thing. There's not a person. There's not a sane person above the age of 10 that thinks that. And yet, they make crazy revenue. They're wildly entertaining. They build these storylines out of nothing. You're watching a scripted TV show.
Yeah.
That is masquerading as real life, and they do it excellently.
I love it.
Vince McMahon is a criminal and should go to jail.
Yeah.
But the other people...
Triple H is running the show now. Triple H is in charge.
There you go. There you go. NHL, bring him in next. Poach him. Other leagues, poach... The way they make that product entertaining with
beautiful.
Yeah, with such limited actual, you know, competitive... reality there. Oh, it's unbelievable. They do a great job of that.
You're looking to learn how to be an actor, go work under the WWE for a couple of years and they will show you. Look, I'm with you. I used to think people that we'd go to school and we'd hear three people talking about, did you see what The Rock did to Stone Cold and Hulk Hogan? And I was like, you're a dork. Like, this is just the dumbest thing ever. But every so often I'll be flipping on TV trying to find something to watch and I'll hit, you know, WWE or that. And I'll sit there for a minute and watch it. And then my wife will walk in the room and go, why are you watching this? And I was like, because I can't look away. Yep. He hurt that person. And that person clearly needs revenge. And then they'll play the music. And some person I've never heard of before will walk down in a very confident manner. I'll be like, oh, it's on now. That guy's going to help him. And it's just, it's very hard to get away from it. I completely get it. And I agree. Now then after a few minutes, my brain will switch back on and go, oh, this isn't real at all. And I'll start going again. Oh. But for a few minutes, it grabs me and it really
exactly
does.
So I get it. Imagine we're watching an NFL game, right?
Okay.
And it's third down. It's third and three. And you're sitting there, lines are on defense. And you're like, oh man, I don't think this is going to, they're not going to be able to stop him. And Aiden Hutchinson's music starts blaring. And he's on a big street. And he comes just tearing out from the sideline. And he's just a crazy man, sits down on the sideline. You're pumped. They give up the first down, but you're pumped for a whole 2 minutes.
Well, he comes out in a tractor like Brock Lesnar did this weekend at SummerSlam. He's just ready to tear up the turf.
Dan Campbell's got two coffee mugs. He smashes them over his head, pours them down his stomach. Stone Cold Dan Campbell.
That's what you need, though. You need, you know, Justin Fields to be under center and hear that music, and all of a sudden you see him turn around, camera pans to his face, and he's just got that look of dread, like, oh no, it's Aiden Hutchinson! Oh my God! See, that would be great. It'd be phenomenal. And it's what we're going to get on Hard Knocks this year.
Or they'll play in a landfill. I don't know.
One of the two. But moving on to that, it's Lions preseason. Lions training camp has started here in Detroit. We are getting Hard Knocks this year, and if nothing else, I would like to go to one thing and one thing only, and that is that I'm very excited for Hard Knocks. I really am. It's the Lions. We get that little bit of like home pride. You know, we get to watch our team. But the thing I'm very afraid of is because it's Hard Knocks, that means everybody's mic'd up. I've heard a lot of speeches from Dan Campbell over the last couple months.
Oh God. Yeah.
He will absolutely fire you up. He really will. But I also don't think Dan Campbell has a clue what he's saying when he says it, because the other night, my wife and I sitting here flipping on ESPN and we saw ESPN and they were showing Dan Campbell's speech to his team about what we're going to do this year and how we're going to be. And he finished it with, that's how we are, men. We will tread water as long as it takes to bury you. To which my wife lifted her head up from doing something and said, what the fuck did he just say? Because those two things don't go together, Dan. But at the same time, I still wanted to run to Allen Park and say, let's do this.
Let's bury them in the water.
Let's bury them in the water.
Ah!
Aquaman agrees. Let's go. That's what worries me is we get, I think it's like 7-8 episodes. Jay, you watch it every year. I think it's 7 of Dan Campbell and us not knowing what he said next.
Oh my God. It's going to be, I bet you they try to squeak in like humble, relaxed, leveled Campbell. It's like, no, this is Dan Campbell at home. It's Lev Shiver, right? So Dan Campbell at home playing checkers. Who would have thought? Like, he's just going to be like reading a book, stirring his coffee. They're going to try to like normalize him, and it's going to be weird.
Yeah, I don't know how you can normalize the dude. He's we've learned about his coffee habits, right? And I'm trying to emulate him over here, but I can't. My body can't handle that.
No, it's a lot.
And he's calling, a massive human being still doing down ups in the middle of practice and shit.
Yeah,
like how do you? That's like putting The Rock in a tutu and making a movie. Oh wait.
We got that.
Never mind. We got that one too.
Campbell this week was talking. I forgot. I think it was Reynolds he was talking about. He's like, he's a freaking serpent, man. Like, he came up with three nicknames in one sentence for Reynolds today. I was like, okay, which one does he have? What is his nickname? Because you gave us three.
Yeah. Well, Jay, you're a gambler, so I can ask you this too, because one of the big things about Hard Knocks is we get to watch, we get to see the behind the scenes, and that's great, but you also get to see the, what it's like to be a front office and have to make those tough decisions on who stays and who goes. So inevitably we are going to see one of those guys have to fire someone, have to cut someone. What is the over under in those episodes of how many times we see Dan Campbell get emotional / tear up cutting a guy by saying, you're a warrior, man. You were there for us. We got you if you ever need it, but we're here for you, man. Like, what, how are we going to get emotional? Like, I know what it's like to be on that side of the desk, Campbell.
I think so. And I think the direct quote is going to be, it's hard, man. It fucking sucks. Like, that's what he's going to say when, like, he has to tell Jamal Williams to go home. Like,
how dare you?
Hang on. You want to talk about gambling?
That man's Jamal a treasure.
Jamal Williams is the star of Hard Knocks.
Oh, absolutely. 110%. He will be the star of Hard Knocks.
He's got to go home.
Him and Penei Sewell are going to be my two picks to be stars of Hard Knocks. Penei Sewell's just got personality.
Aiden's going to be all up in, here's my jacket today. These were all the paintings I did when I was four and I was learning how to draw. Like,
let's talk about that. Cause like I said, we all watch Hard Knocks. We enjoy it and all that, but Russ, like this, because this one's a little different, it's not the Arizona Cardinals or the LA Rams. You don't really have emotional connection to them in any way, shape or form. Is there like something extra to this one for you? Or is this just Hard Knocks? Like all Hard Knocks, the only difference is it's going to be filmed 20 minutes from where you grew up.
Oh, this one's going to be incredibly different to me for two very big reasons. One, it feels like I'm being validated and then being rewarded for being a Lions fan for the first time in my entire life. And that's very special. And two, I'm finally motivated to do a bingo square of Dan Campbellisms and see if we get past episode two before I fill the whole board.
Let's do it. I love that.
Jay, what about you?
Well, Russ has an excellent point as an outsider looking in, because he's not. So I love where he's picking up on it.
Isn't that great? It took Russ leaving this state for us to get Hard Knocks.
You're welcome.
Was the reason, because they were like, you know what? This dude literally works like 10 minutes from here. That's a little too close. We don't want to risk it. If he goes to another state, we'll let you guys have Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. Mana didn't get a job, did she? You just had to leave state for that.
She got a job. She's actually at a conference right now. However, I could only, like hear the practice facility from my parking spot. So yeah, that would be too convenient.
But Jay, for you, like I said,
I'm sorry, Russ. You've been a longer Lions fan than I have. Yeah. Like that.
We're gonna get the Honolulu blue and silver. So what is this for you?
Hang on, what were you gonna say?
Because I'm 3 days older than you.
Yes, technically you've been a longer Lions fan than I have. You've been on this planet longer than me, man. You're my elder. I got to respect that.
I appreciate the 72 hours.
You got it. For the Lions and getting this, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting in the moment, but my major concern, and yes, I'm going to be negative about it. My major concern is like, what's the takeaway? Because I distinctively remember when the Browns had it, it was like, Liv Schreiber voice. They're building it. Like it's on its way in Cleveland. Like the Browns are going, but like, what are we going to bottom line this for? Like, we're going to get to the last preseason game and players are going to get cut. And is it going to be like, we've arrived or we still have more work to do? Or like, how is Liv Schreiber going to narrate what we're doing in Detroit? Cause what we're doing is we had three wins last year. Like we're dog shit still. Like, are we just going to say, and that's Detroit. We're dog shit. The end. Like, I want to know what the bottom line is of the story that they're going to try to portray.
Well, you know what? He did a great job during that Toronto Maple Leafs Detroit Red Wings Winter Classic.
He's so good.
that they did. Made me believe that Danny Alfredson was a good piece to have for that particular hockey team, and he wasn't. So don't you worry about Liev Schreiber. He's going to do just fine making these Lions sound like something. But you brought up my next question and kind of point, and I think it's because, you know, reading the media and seeing everything, us as Lions fans, I feel like we're so ingrained with the there's possibility, but more than likely going to be a letdown, that when you see people make these comments, I'll look at Steve Smith, for instance. Last year, Steve Smith said this team had, you know, it was bottom of the barrel, had no real reason to get excited. He made a comment the other day that said they are right there, ready to start building on something. Me as a Lions fan, I looked at him and said, what are you watching and can I watch it with you? But is it that, are we as Lions fans, like, is the only way we're going to accept that the Lions turned it around is we're going to be sitting there with the TV on, seeing them hand, you know, the Fords or Dan Campbell the Lombardi Trophy, and that's when we're going to be like, oh, wow, yeah, they actually did something this year. I feel like that's the only way we're going to be able to be like, this is real. Up until then, it's going to be like, it's going to be that thing of, wow, the Lions in the Super Bowl, that's great.
Yeah, well, shit can happen.
And that's how we're going to feel about it.
That's so terrible.
There's 5 minutes left of the fourth quarter. They're up 21, and you're like, let's see how this plays out.
Yeah, I'm not ready to accept you yet. Yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's how I am, Russ. I don't know about you are, but it's just to me, I'm hearing these comments, and I'm seeing this, and it's like, I see what's on paper. I see that this offense, when you look at this line, these running backs, this receiver core with Hockenson healthy, like, there is legit math there that this is going to be a fun offense and a talented offense. You look at the other side with Awarie, and everybody's making a big deal that apparently, why am I blanking on our Jay? Who is our corner we drafted that you absolutely hate?
Oh, Jeff Okuda. Oh,
Jeff Okuda can jump really high now. I've seen workout videos of him. He can jump. And you've got Aiden Hutchinson, and you like there's reasons to believe this defense is going to make a leap forward. But to me, I'm still looking at it going, okay, talk to me in week four if all of these guys are still playing.
This is why I don't read any media during this time. I do not care about how well practice went. I care about that St. Brown and Awarie fought each other today, and that will most likely be on Hard Knocks when we watch it next week. I like that. Nice. I don't care for he practiced so good. Okay.
All right. Hear me out, because I didn't realize I had to be the hopeful voice of delusion. Those are reasonable takes, and arguably the right take to realize that we have too many lifetimes worth of Lions failures to ever really go, yeah, I'm going to buy into the hype, but this is an entertainment product. And because of all of those lifetimes of failure, we know very likely by week 10, you're going to wish it was week 18 already. Mm-hmm. So buy in now and get your happiness up front. It's your signing bonus for being here. Cash in on it now before it rots.
Please, sir, I want some more.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can really sell you on. Like, yes, the offensive line looks like it could be a top five, top 10 unit in the entire NFL. We said that last year, too, and they were together, all five of them, for exactly zero games.
Yeah, health was a big problem with them.
Yep. Shit happens, right? On paper, yes, it looked great. And if you have that and Goff has time, then Goff might not be terrible. And he's got a lot of weapons. So you can quickly talk yourself into this going, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. That's not bad. But that's our bar. It's not bad. There's a lot of good teams that don't make it to the Super Bowl. There's a lot of great teams that don't make it to the Super Bowl. We got to be a lot better than not bad. and the fact that it's still exciting that we're not bad kind of tells you where we are.
Yeah.
And so enjoy it now.
And obviously, you know, as we get closer to the season and we see some preseason, we'll have a better feel for this. But like you said, not bad. And that's great and that's justifiable. But what is not bad to you? What does this end of year have to look like for you to be like, look, it wasn't great, but it wasn't that bad. Like if you're gonna look to 2023, this is the 2022 you wanted to have to feel really optimistic about 2023. Realistically, not that dream. Oh yeah, they go 10-7 and they, mm-hmm. you know, they make the playoffs. What's the realistic not bad?
I think you got to be. So I'm going to say you have to be within a couple games of 500, but it can't just be like, hey, at the end of the year, they went, you know, they rattled off the last three games and they got to 6-whatever, like, you know, 6-11. Like that's not actually being in it. That's garbage time wins that you stacked up there, but like be competitive. 6, 7, 8 wins, right? Somewhere in that range. And maybe more importantly, process-wise, the offense and the defense can't talk. Points per game, yards per game, yards per attempt, right? Points scored, that has to be up. The defense can't be 32nd in the league in points allowed per play like they were 2 years ago. They can't be 29th like they were last year, right? We got to get out of that bottom five, bottom 10 in the major statistical categories. Then I could say you're not bad.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You also can't give up a 66-yard field goal with 2 seconds left to go in a game.
Tucker.
Justin Tucker.
But Jay, for
Tuck
you.
Tuck coming.
Shut up, Justin. Right. We're not even remotely there yet. That's coming very soon, though. Those conversations will happen very soon. But for you, Jay, what is that, you know, not bad? What does that not bad look like for you?
Not bad for me is going to lean heavily on Vegas. And it's a fun line that I like and put money on a while ago. And that's over 6.5 wins. If they go over 6.5 wins for me, because that's where the line is at with Vegas, then that's not you're not bad. You're probably 7-10. Okay. We're probably the second best team in our division then, if that's what's going to happen, is we're going to go 7-10 or better. I would give that merit. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about how many games we lost last year by fewer than like 1 point or 2 points or whatever it is, like 6 games by 1 point in Justin Tucker. Like, it's like, okay, convert half of those and yeah, maybe we're not bad anymore. So give me over 6.5 wins and I'll think that we're not bad.
I'm with you. It can't be a 2-1 loss to win ratio. It's gotta look closer to 500. Now I'm not saying 500, but it's gotta look a lot closer to 500 than, you know, 3-14. 'Cause that makes it a lot more believable. And in all honesty, I mainly because I think I'm the big proponent of this over, you know, you guys, especially not Russ. Russ is very much more the analytical side. I'm more of this. I have to see something out of this eye test. I have to see this offense look like they're maybe a piece or an extra off-season away from figuring out what clicks and how to run with it. I need to see this defense. I'm not asking you to come out and be the 2002 Tampa Bay Buccaneers and shut the league down. But I need to see that you're figuring out what works to stop what. And you need to start showing that Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Kirk Cousins and Fields, these are three quarterbacks that on a regular basis you can hang with and manage effectively. I need a little bit of eye test out of that, but I need a record that shows me it's doable. That to me, I can look at that and go into the offseason going, all right, like you said, 6-10, 7-10, whatever. I can go, that's something we can build off of. That's a 10-7 season next year, if not better. So I need that. I like that. I think it's good. Jay, I have to ask you this because I saw this and I think it's changed since then. I saw it for a brief moment and almost put money on it just because if it happened, the payout would have been amazing. At one point, Vegas had odds for Swift to be the number one rusher in the league this year.
Let me see.
It's not there anymore. I know it's not there anymore. But
season awards. They're going to do rookie, head coach.
Would you lay cash?
I think that's just a cheeky, cute little way to get people to lose their money. I would not do that.
You just described gambling.
Yeah, because, like, okay, in player specials, Mark Andrews, Stephon Diggs. Oh, let's get to the D's. I don't think they're going to have it here anymore.
Clyde I doubt Edwards, it's there anymore. It was there for a minute.
Oh, DeAndre's. Oh, no. They just got over. Okay. The Lions win line is the same as the touchdown line for DeAndre Swift.
6.5.
That's interesting. Yeah. They don't have him to. No, they don't got it in here. I'd say no. I would pass on that. We don't have a great history of running backs. I'm not. Amir Abdullah. Sure.
Well, I'm really excited for Hard Knocks. I know we all are. I know it's something we'll be talking about as we go. We got to switch over now to a tough topic that it's just not fun to discuss because the fact that it's even something we have to discuss shows you how broken this system is. Russ and I were big fans of this guy. We spent many years talking about how this guy might be the number one young quarterback in the league who when he gets the right pieces around him, look out. This guy's just that much more electric. Well, turns out this guy's a piece of shit, and we don't really like him.
In a big way.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson, now starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns after a trade from the Houston Texans. The number got up to 24 counts of sexual assault. 22 or 23 of them have been settled, which, you know, that is what it is. Everybody expecting, okay, this guy's not going to see the field in 2022. There's still a chance of that, but for right now, not going to see the field in 2022. Well, turns out the other day he got a 6-game suspension, no fine. And to put that in perspective, an owner for the Miami Dolphins tampered by telling his coach that he'll give him $100,000 to lose games. Now, that was joking, according to the league, and illegally contacted Tom Brady and Sean Payton about coming to the team during times he was not allowed to have communication with them. Got a week longer suspension and a $1.5 million fine. Now, all that guy did was make some phone calls that to any one of us is okay. This dude assaulted women, and somehow they said, dude, we'll see you at Halloween. And that, to me, is a really bad sign, Russ.
It is. And the more you look at it, the worse it gets. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give the NFL credit because the NFL's – they're protecting the on-field product, really, and they're protecting their own ass as much as they can. But they are at least appealing the decision and have suggested an indefinite suspension with a minimum of 1 year with contingencies that have to be met for reinstatement. Yeah. We'll see where that goes. But this was always what was going to happen. I mean, not to be too like doom and gloom, but like, look at the way Cleveland structured his contract. His base salary year one was $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Every other year was $46 million. Do you know, just so every game check he misses year one doesn't really matter to him.
Nope.
It's nothing compared to what he'll get, you know, for sneezing the next year. And there's language in the contract that says your signing bonus and any future guarantees will not get voided when you get suspended. So they upfront, you're going to get suspended. And how do we make this easiest on you financially? How do I help you sleep at night with all the women that you violated? Can I offer you more money in out years instead? It's gross. Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, and Kyler Murray all got extensions. None of them were structured like this. So this was incredibly intentional to lessen the burden on someone who's done terrible, you know, sexual crimes to other people. And I,
who deserves to be burdened for what he did.
A whole lot more than a year, a whole lot more than anything else. Like, yes, we can talk about, you know, the equivalent suspensions in for substance abuse or steroids or other things in the league. And yeah, sure. Some of those, at least you should be suspended for. Absolutely. Yeah. But there's a whole difference between, hey, I took some steroids and I got fined, and I changed the course of someone else's life for the worse.
You want to know what's hilarious? 20
plus times.
Yeah. You want to know what's hilarious? Is Brittany Griner got the sentence that Deshaun Watson should have gotten.
Oh, my God. Sent to Siberia.
Siberia. A place where you need to smoke up to stay warm.
That's Brittany Griner on its own.
You're so right, though. You're so right, though, with that.
But yeah,
9 years in Russian prison.
Yeah, which I don't think she'll see any of because apparently this is an important thing to get rid of, or to get her back by giving up a known arms dealer. But that's for another show altogether.
What a life! What a world we live in.
Yeah, now Waylon, I get that, but Brittany Griner was a basketball player, and we're going to give up an arms dealer to get her back. That is what it is. Do what you will with it. But Jay, I want to ask you this because I heard this asked today on multiple radio stations, and I get this question comes with a little bit of grime to it, but you are the father of daughters. As the father of daughters, as guys who have daughters in this locker room, how do you walk into that locker room and acknowledge that man as a teammate and brother, knowing for a fact what he did?
I have another opinion off this. I'll share with you as well, but it's, you can't, like, people, a lot of people you probably work with, you have no clue what they do behind closed doors, right? And as long as you're not hurting anybody or yourself, great. Do you? Yeah. But like, you know what this guy did behind closed doors. And you know that, you know, a lot of people say when you settle, like, you know, you're not found guilty and you're not innocent. But like in the case of this, like, I look at it as settlement as an admission of guilt for this man. So the fact that he settled for 90%, 99% of these cases, and now he's going to walk into a locker room in October and he's going to throw footballs, like, I would just not catch the fucking ball. I would just swat it away. Like, yeah. Fuck that. I have a very short leash on this matter, and I don't like that he's the minimum. The floor was 6, right? And I saw the NFLPA is also going to countersue the NFL for appeal. Yeah. What the fuck? What is going on, dude?
If we're helping you get back faster for doing what you did, which to me sends the great message to these young like recruits who are about to go to college and or know they're going to be top picks next year, of saying, look, all we're trying to say is if you're good enough and you make enough money for us, we will help you. Oh, you killed someone? No, you didn't. The kicker did it. But we'll find a way to work it out for you.
Dante Stallworth, what's up?
Exactly. And the thing that I find insane about it is this is 6 weeks. Josh Gordon got suspended for like 3 years because he couldn't stop smoking weed. Like this is just very, very one-sided and weird. And Goodell chooses to take stances on things in very strange ways. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what, Jacoby Brissett should be the only quarterback that plays for Cleveland next year because Deshaun Watson shouldn't even be an available option. The guy should legitimately be sitting in a penitentiary until they get this all worked out. But instead, they're showing him at training camp right now chucking footballs. It's insane.
There's a young man who probably got coached when he was in high school and was told to literally bet on himself. Take yourself as far as you can. Bet on yourself. And a young man named Calvin Ridley, who literally bet on himself in a parlay, can't play all season long because he got suspended for a year. But Deshaun Watson will be throwing footballs for Cleveland.
Shame on you for making me laugh at that.
Yeah. His parlay was so pitiful, but he bet on himself and he can't play for a year. Like,
because you can't question the integrity of whether he wanted to win. Well, question the integrity of whether, you know, he's a rapist. Sure, that's fine by the NFL.
Yeah. Well, but to be fair, Calvin Ridley probably looked at his phone and said, oh shit, I got 7 catches. I'm only allowed 8. Guess I can't help you for the rest of the game. But look, we know players who bet on themselves and now they can't go into the fucking Hall of Fame because of it. Cough, cough, Pete Rose. What I'm saying is,
who's that?
I'm
joking.
This is a broken system, a messed up system. And the fact of the matter is, it's just perpetuating that certain people get certain treatment. And that's how we run into these problems more and more, because you think you're special. You're not special, but enough people are going to protect you to make you feel that you're untouchable. And that's ridiculous.
Oh, and tell your kids no, folks. That's all you got to do. Tell them no a couple times.
It kind of ties back to what we talked about in the beginning about the commissioner making so much more money than the athletes. Having Deshaun Watson not on the field jeopardizes the pockets of those people making more money.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people with the money to change things. And they won't because of aforementioned pockets. This is not a capitalism rant. This is not a morality rant. It's just broken, man.
A line was uttered at one point that greed is good, and unfortunately too many people believed it, that now it is legitimately a mantra for anyone in a front office and or, you know, position to see their wallet get a little bit bigger. It's wrong, it's messed up, and it's just kind of a weird thing that hopefully gets fixed, but I don't see it getting fixed the way it needs to be fixed. Russ, your face says it all as I'm saying this. Like, I could tell you know what I'm trying to say, but you also know that what I'm saying is far too utopian to ever happen.
Right. No, I think you're right. Hopefully it does.
They're showing,
they knew, though.
Yeah, they're showing it, as you said. 22, $1.4 million base salary, $10 million cap hit. After that, it's 46 and 55 across the board the rest of the way.
That's intentional. And yes, they knew his whole legal thing was coming when they traded for him. But they also knew, like, how do you, I'm struggling with, how do you grapple? You know he's guilty. You structured this contract in a way that you knew he was guilty, and you still went, that's the guy. That's my guy. That's the guy I want leading my franchise. Cleveland deserves all the bad things. Send him to Baltimore again. Let's get a second team in Baltimore. I'm done with the Browns.
Can we hire Darius Leonard or TJ Watt to just absolutely abolish his rib cage? Like,
I don't think we have to pay him.
I promise you, someone on a defensive line somewhere is just gunning to go after him when he comes back. And I'll watch it. And it's only gonna help the pockets. God damn it. See?
It's only gonna I'm trying to look this up because I know that now that we know the date, I can actually say it.
Where's that prop bet? Who kills Deshaun Watson on the field?
Yeah. So
a mustard with the candlestick.
What do we say? 6 weeks? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Week 6. So
Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh.
No, it's New England. But he literally has a stretch there where he's got to go up against some very, very, you know, annoying people that are going to have a problem with him doing what he did and might choose to take it out on him. So we'll see what comes of it. As I said, there's no good way to wrap this one up feeling like we resolved anything, because the resolution is that the people that have the right to make the decision make the right decision. And that's not going to happen, unfortunately, as long as money signs are attached to this guy. Now, that's the thing. If Deshaun Watson was a backup quarterback in the Texans, he'd be in jail right now. There wouldn't even be a report on him. But it's because he is who he is that it's not. And it's a continuing trend. Like we said, you look at Dante Stallworth, you look at all these other guys. I mean, Russ, you made this comment for years, and you know, Ray Lewis potentially killed the man and then won a Super Bowl. Like that's what it is. And we have to accept it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. Well, we were told there's going to be some joy here, so I'm excited for it. Let's bring up Sergeant Salty's creepy bet of the week.
See, like you're going the wrong way, but you're not too far off. Okay. So we're gonna bet on something, and it's going to be the low point of us ever gambling, but you can literally bet on it. And I think it's going to interest us as people who are interested in, oh, that's something you can gamble on. We're gonna look at it real quick here. Okay, so it's a future. It happens in March of 2023. Because look, you guys know, we're not doing baseball. We can't do any other futures for other sports.
That is 3.5 years from now.
It's going to feel like it. And none of us are going to be experts in all of these potential participants of what you can bet on. And Eric might be the only one who knows half of the competitors in what we're about to bet on. I will know maybe one of them. Okay? Russ, I don't know if you're going to know any of them. We're going to see here. You ready?
Can't wait.
All right, we're going to predict the best picture at the Oscars in March of 2023. So of note, some of the best pictures that you can gamble on, Avatar, The Way of the Water, or whatever it's called, +1,000. James Cameron, +1,000. Okay? Eric, do you have something to say? I feel like you want something to come out of your mouth right now.
If the end of this parlay doesn't end with who Will Smith smacks this year, I don't give a shit.
Black Panther, +2,500.
Oh, like best picture, like best movie. I thought you meant who took the best picture at the Oscars.
No. We're all so dumb. You're so dumb.
I just look stupid, but now you look dumb too.
Okay, I'm back.
Another fan favorite that Eric, I think you would put money on. This is your Phil Mickelson in California winning that one weekend. Top Gun Maverick +3,300 to win Best Picture.
Do you
best
have movie one I've that's seen not a year. Sequel?
Yeah.
So okay, so the other ones, the odds on favorite 13 Lives +450.
Bueller.
I got Killers of the Flower Moon, She Said, Rustin, Amsterdam, Avatar, The Fablemans, and Everything Everywhere at All at Once, 1,200. I've got nothing on all those favorite picks that have better odds.
Avatar, Black Panther, and Top Gun are not going to win Best Picture. Even though I will say I've seen quite a few movies.
Eric's going to get this.
Now that I have a press pass to go see these movies ahead of time, Top Gun is one of the best movies I've seen this year. It's a great movie. Great movie. But it's not going to be any of those because they're very mainstream, cookie cutter, kind of fun movies. I haven't seen most of these movies that you're talking about, but I hear that the Everywhere, Everything, All at Once is supposed to be a very good movie. So I'll lay my money there.
Okay. Eric going with Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Russ, do you want me to list some other names of movies?
No, because I'm actually a little bummed. That was the one I was going to go with, because the moment that I heard it was a thing, every single time that I'm watching my son, and let's say I'm trying to feed him, he's fighting me, he poops his pants, the dog tries to eat something, I go, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, under my breath. And I've been doing this for like a month. So I'm disappointed, and it has put me into a triangle of sadness.
I would like to relinquish my answer to the member from Seattle, and I will take Killers of the Flower Moon.
Did I even say that one yet? Killers of the Flower Moon at +500.
I will take that and relinquish my answer to the representative from Seattle.
Well, I'm going to go with a movie that you cannot make me watch. You could give me 800 million Saudi bucks and I still wouldn't watch it. I am not gonna watch the movie called Nope.
But it's terrible. The director. Terrible movie.
Nope is terrible.
Nope is a terrible. Multiple people I work with went and saw it and said it was an awful movie.
What is it about? Because I've heard is Nope.
It's Signs, but on a dude ranch. By, you know, directed by Jordan Peele. It's basically just the M. Night Shyamalan Signs, but on a dude ranch.
All right. Jordan, so then I take that back. I'm going to go with Rustin because it's a combination of my name and Russ's name at +800.
Oh, okay.
No idea what it's about. I hope it's about rust, like the decaying of metals.
So it's the documentary category.
Decay.
The decay. All right. Well, yeah, Jay, you made me think, and I didn't like what I had to think about there. But at least you weren't dumb enough to think I did that it was who took the best picture. So that is what it is.
I don't know where your head's at on that one, bud.
It's thinking about nine other things that have something to do with what we're talking about today. So can't wait to see how that pans out in 8 months. It's going to be very exciting. We're getting ready to wrap up here. Before we do, though, I don't think that you can do a sports podcast like we do and not acknowledge that this past week, there has been two very, very large losses in the world of sports. First off, last Sunday, we found out that 11-time champion, probably one of the greatest players to ever play the game, if not one of the most influential people in the history of the NBA, Bill Russell, former Boston Celtic, passed away. That one, it's hard hitting because we know the legend. Again, he played, you know, before our parents were even born. So he had a career that, you know, was long done by the time we got to know him. But we got to know him, one, through word of mouth, and two, through the highlights and through the legacy that he is. The guy was an icon in the sport. And let's be honest, he had the balls to stand up on stage being given an award with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaq, David Robinson, Dikembe Mutombo and Alonzo Mourning, five of the best centers of all time, widely considered the five best centers of all time. And at 80 years old with a cane, look at all of them and say, I would kick your ass. And that, to me, wins you all the points in the world. So that's a big one. It was a big loss in sports, and it's a very sad thing. But the one to me that I think was even bigger, and it might be bigger because this person did my chosen profession for 70 years in the same town and did it 1,000 times better than anybody else ever could. That is the late, great Vin Scully, who called Dodgers games. The guy was just a master at what he did. And Russ, we're both baseball guys. We love it. I don't think you can you can't be a baseball fan and not say that Vin Scully was just better than everybody else when he turned that microphone on.
He's the voice. Just
yes.
The voice. It's ridiculous because went back and was watching some of the stuff, right? Reliving his highlights. They're all him.
No.
All the things you think about from back in the day, major calls, they're all him. Even the catch in football, That was him. It's ridiculous. He is the voice of nostalgia and sports in the past. And now, unfortunately, he's in the past as well. It's a sad day.
It very much is. I had to go back for work and get audio, and I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be a lot of Dodgers calls. No. Hank Aaron breaks the home run record. That's Vin Scully. Ball goes through Buckner's legs. That's Vin Scully. Gibby hits that famous fist bump home run. That's Vin Scully. Joe Carter hits a home run for the Toronto to win. The guy was there for everything, and the fact that he is the voice of the greatest memories in the sport says so much about him. So it's a sad day. It really is. But what's great is it's a sad day that we lose him, but it's in a greater thing that your son, my children, Justin's children will know who Vin Scully is, because they'll see those plays 30 years from now and they'll hear that voice. And he's someone who legitimately is going to live forever because he saw the greatest moments in a sport, in a generation of sports. And it's going to go on forever. And it just means so much more because of it. It's phenomenal. It really is. So that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. As always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. My thanks, as always, to the stat man, Mr. Wilderness, Russ Ivanek.
I can't believe I actually made it back. Hello from the past.
Russ recorded his answers 3 weeks ago. We're just replaying them for you as we go. And as always, Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus, thanks for not leaving town.
I'm still here, and we're not gambling on photographs ever. I'll try to find a future on photographs somehow, but I trust me, we're going to bring that heat this year. We're going to go hard on gambling. I know it. I feel it.
Well, as you can feel it, man. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That's one small step for us. When Giant Leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
Little roller up along first. Behind the bag. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it. And look who's coming up. High fly ball.